Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, that's for sure. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to once again be in your presence, to be in your house, Lord, to hear your word, for another opportunity to be transformed from the inside out. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you that you've just not left us to figure it out on our own, God, but you've given us a body of believers that we can fellowship with and glean from and learn from and be encouraged by. And I just thank you for the house of the Lord. Father, I pray that this morning we would leave changed, resolved, determined to carry out your will. And I pray that we would have ears to hear what you're saying this morning, God. I pray that there would be an anointing upon your word, God, that it would touch each heart, Lord. Father, if your anointing is not here, we're doing this in vain, God. I pray for an anointing. So I commit this word to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm always honored to be able to share here. This has been my church home for nearly 16 years. And to be able to speak is not something that I take for granted. And I try to be very sensitive to what the Lord says. And as it is, he generally will begin to speak to me a couple weeks before. And then he does that for my sake. And then he usually flips the switch Saturday. That's for his sake. So he gets, you know, he does it for me so I don't worry. And then he says, okay, now this is what we're really going to talk about. So that's what happened yesterday. And I am so grateful for that because I want it to be a fresh word for you. I don't want it to just be something that got pulled up out of a file that sounded good. I want it to be a now word, right now. And so yesterday, as I thought I was preparing the message that I thought he had, he began to speak, and he said simply this: it's not too late. It's not too late. It feels like it's too late. It looks like it's too late. It sounds like it's too late. But it's not too late. It's not too late. And specifically in my heart, he was speaking to me because I have maybe grown a little bit weary in the circumstances that are going on in our nation, and it feels like it's too late. When I look at the upcoming elections and the things that we're walking into, it just feels like it's too late. It feels overwhelming to me. But the Lord is saying it's not too late. And maybe that's not the burden that you've walked in here with today. Maybe it's a tremendous need in your family or your marriage, or maybe it's a financial breakthrough that you need. Maybe it's something completely different than the burden that I carried, but the word of the Lord is saying it's not too late. It's not. There are times when it is, And I've experienced that, and so have you, where you felt like it's too late. The death of a loved one or something that took place that you really believed God for, and it passed and it was too late. But today, the now word, God is saying it's not. Right now, this moment, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever the need is, it's not too late. And if the enemy can convince us that it is, well, then he's won. Because we won't move forward. We won't believe God. So I was reading in Jonah about Nineveh. And the city of Nineveh is described in Genesis 10:11 as having been founded by Nimrod. He's the hunter who built the Tower of Babel and led the world into a rebellion against God. It was a wicked, perverse city. At best, it could have been described as barbaric. And God sent Jonah to declare that judgment would come if they did not repent. You know the story. God told him to go to Nineveh. He decided to run to Tarshish. While sailing there, he got to Joppa and a great storm arose. Jonah knew that that storm was judgment against him for his disobedience. So he told the sailors to throw him overboard. And when they did, a great fish swallowed him, and he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days. It was there that he repented, and the fish spit him out. God told Jonah again to go to Nineveh, and it was there that he obeyed, and that's where I want to pick this up in Jonah 3:3-5. It says that Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city, and it took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. He had 40 more days, the city of Nineveh, 40 days, and the city would be overthrown. And verse 5 says, the Ninevites believed God. And when I read that, there was such significance there to me. I just sat and I read that scripture, that one scripture, over and over. It was as if I was stuck in time, and I kept saying, the Ninevites believed God. And the more I began to read, the more I began to weep. They believed God. And I began to cry from the depth of my being. Who's going to believe you, God? Who's going to believe you? And it was as if it transformed in the Spirit of God speaking through me, and he was saying, who's going to believe me? What city is going to believe me? What nation is going to believe me? What people is going to believe me? Who's going to believe me? I mean, believe him, not believe in him. Believe him. You see, there's a difference. 3/4 of this nation would tell you they believe in him. But to believe him is far different. The Ninevites believed God. I see the lawlessness. I see the darkness. I see the unbelief. I see the wickedness of this generation. And I said, oh God, who's going to believe you? Who is going to believe God? Who's going to believe his word? To believe that he says what he says is truth. To believe that what he says he will do. To believe what he says is what he means. Nineveh's belief produced action. Something happened when they believed. You can say all day long, I believe. But what you say is not what you believe. What you do is what you believe. You can say, I believe the word of the Lord is truth. But until you obey it, it is just simply something that you're saying. Verse 5 said they believe God. They believed him. And a fast was proclaimed. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. All of them, from the greatest to the least. All of them is all of them. They all believed. The word of God says there was 120,000 in the city of Nineveh. All of them, from the greatest to the least, believed God. And it produced action. In verse 6, it says, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. And this is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. He said this, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone who call urgently on God, let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Their belief produced action. Their action moved God to relent. It's not too late. It's not too late. It seems as if there's this blanket of despair, hopelessness over the church. It seems as if we have believed that there's nothing that we can do. It's just too big. And we've just given up. It's not too late. It's not too late. I don't watch football very often. In fact, I don't at all anymore because we don't have a TV. So I'm not going to be very expert at what I'm about to say. I don't really understand the game. I watch it when I watch it for my husband. I think sometimes he'd just appreciate if I didn't watch it because I'm always asking about stuff. But anyway, I have learned this one thing, and if I have a pet peeve about football, it is this. I cannot stand it when there's two teams that have fought for however long it is they fight or play or whatever it is they're doing. And regardless of how it all comes down, see, for me, I just say, give me the last 5 minutes. I don't need to watch all that other stuff. Tell me when the last 5 minutes are on, I'll come sit down and watch it. But they come together on the last play after they have battled this thing out for however long, and the quarterback takes a knee. I guess that's what it's called, right? When he doesn't like do anything. He just, right? You take a knee. I can't stand it. It drives me crazy. I find myself yelling at the TV. Why did you do that? Do something. Throw the Hail Mary. Do the little, flip the ball. Do something, but don't just lay down. It drives me crazy. What's the point? And Tom says, well, they don't want to injure any of their players. They know they're going to lose anyway. I thought of this example when I thought about where we're at. Oh, well, we're just probably going to lose anyway. We know the end of the book. It's not too late. Do something. Do something. Believe him. Let your belief produce action. Don't just take a knee. Take two. Hey, that was good, wasn't it? Yeah. Take two. If you're going to do it, right? Don't just... Okay, anyway. It's like... It's like the king of Assyria speaking against Hezekiah. This is when I read this, I heard the voice of the enemy. 2 Chronicles 32, 14 through 16. King of Assyria said this, "Who of all the gods of these nations that my predecessors destroyed has been able to save his people from me? How then can your God deliver you from my hand? Now do not let Hezekiah deceive you and mislead you like this. Do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my predecessors. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand?" The same words Satan speaks today. No nation or kingdom has been able to deliver this people. Things have gone too far. Your God will not deliver you. Don't you see the condition of man? It's impossible to turn this around. Yeah, I guess you're right. It's pretty bad. It's in those times that we must believe God. Because with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? From the depth of your being, do you believe that? I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures. And I am not apologizing for that. I'm just saying, get ready. Some of you won't even read these. You may tune me out. But that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you hearing the word and you just becoming numb to it. I'm talking about people who listen to the word and it's just like, oh yeah, I know that. But do you believe it? I began to read these scriptures last night with a belief in my heart, a belief that had tried to become dormant, not just to believe in Jesus Christ, but to believe the truth of his word and to stand on it like I'd never stood before. To believe him. His word. Genesis 15:6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Numbers 14:11. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the signs I've performed among them?" Isaiah 43:10 through 11 says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am him. For before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. Matthew 9:28. When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and asked, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Matthew 21:22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Mark 1:15. The time has come. He said, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Mark 9:23. Jesus said, "Everything is possible for one who believes." Everything. Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise. Luke 24:25. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophet has spoken." John 2:22. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. John 5:24. Very truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. John 6:29. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe the one he has sent." John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. John 8:24. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. John 10:25. Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe." John 11:40. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" I've told you, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Do you believe that? It's not too late. John 20:29, Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Acts 13:39, through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. Romans 4:18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations. Romans 9:33, as it is written, "See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame." Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Ephesians 1:13, and you were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. James 2:23, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. 1 John 5:5. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe. In the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. Do you believe him? This was just a drop in the bucket of all the scriptures about believing God. Interestingly, the last one I found that has been written, the last one God allowed me to at least find, was in the book of Jude. Jude 1:5. This is his last verse that I found about believing. Jude 1:5 says, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed them. But later destroyed those who did not believe. He's told us over and over and over and over to believe him. To believe his word is truth. Tom often challenges people and says, I dare you to believe the Bible. I dare you to believe it. The Ninevites believed God. They believed the prophet that God had sent. They believed judgment was coming. They believed. One of the comments I often hear after Hosea's door, women will come to me and they'll stand really close to me as if what I have to say is they hang on this and they say, Tina, this is real, isn't it? This is real. I'll say, yes, it's real. It's as if they've been lulled to sleep in this place where their mind has been so full of entertainment and things that aren't real anymore. Things that don't make, there's no reality to it. It's just a way to check out the books that we read and the things that we watch and the things that we listen to and the music and everything that gets us out of the truth of where we are right now. And they come to me and they say, this is real. I say, yes, it's real. Yes, it's real. God is real. His word is real. His judgment is real. His love is real. His mercies are real. His glory is real. His power is real. His spirit is real. His life is real. His death is real. His resurrection is real. His kingdom is real. It's all real. And there's times when you're going to have to speak that. You're going to have to come to terms with the fact that what we see is not real. But he is. And his kingdom is. And you can believe him. You can believe his word. But if you believe it, it's going to require action. Something will happen in your life. And your action will move God because he moves by the faith and obedience of his people. We must believe. We must believe. Mariah, would you come, please? 1 Peter 4:17. It says, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? see, I am all about the return of Christ. The majority of my ministry is about preparing the bride. And I want him to return. And there's times when I just say, come, Lord Jesus, right now. But I understand that there is a people that God in his mercy is still waiting on. Time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel? Do you believe? Do you believe that? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Do you believe? Do you believe that? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Jonah, chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did, when God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Do you believe? Do you believe that? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's not too late. It's not too late. But your belief has got to produce something. Action. Moving forward. Standing on the truth. Too late. But who will believe? Who will believe? I am praying for someone who will believe. Really believe. Not to believe in him, but to stand in the truth of what he says, no matter what. Our nation desperately needs to believe God. To believe God. That our president will have a decree like this. No one will eat. We are a wicked nation and we must turn from that wickedness. I keep praying for God to move, to remove the blinders, to remove those things that are entrapping him. Can you imagine if he made a decree like this? It's not too late. Your circumstances are, it's not too late. Believe God. Believe him. It's not too late.
The world to see.
You know, when the Ninevites believed, they didn't sing. They didn't get their house prepared for judgment. They believed God. They believed that it was going to take fasting and prayer and repentance. Some of you that have done this and done it well, you've intentionally fasted and prayed and maybe didn't see the results that you thought should have happened. And you've become weary and you've laid it down. And the enemy has lied to you and said it's just too late. Calling you today to believe again. I'm calling you to believe again. To believe God. Fight a good fight. Salvation really can come to your household. Did I not tell you that if you would only believe, you would see the glory of God?
Thank you. The thing that keeps coming back to my heart, the Lord keeps bringing to my heart this morning is to establish a beachhead. And I'm not even sure exactly, I haven't studied war that much to know exactly what that means. But when the war comes and you establish that beachhead, you say, you've come this far, devil, you're not coming any farther.